I was reading the stories the other day about David's struggles and how David spent a part of his life fleeing from his problems, namely those who were trying to kill him. David refers to those people as those that were trying to devour him. Okay? In 1 Samuel 22, we find David hiding in a cave. Caves in these times were used for various reasons, but two of them that we read about where caves are used for burial for the dead and also a place to hide. Now we find a lot of symbolic implications in that definition of the caves and the way caves were spoken of in the Bible as a place for burial for the dead and a place to hide. If you read 1 Samuel, you'll find that the Lord had rejected King Saul, the king of Israel, and the Lord sent Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint a man as the Lord's chosen king, the new king of Israel. Samuel went, he found Jesse. He looked over all Jesse's sons, but none were suitable. They were not the ones the Lord was calling. And finally, as David was brought in from the pastures before Samuel, the Lord affirmed that David was the one, and Samuel anointed him. And it tells us in 1 Samuel 16 that from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. David was Israel's greatest king. He was clearly God's chosen man. The Bible tells us he was a man after God's own heart. So why was he hiding in a cave? He had slain the giant Goliath. He was God's chosen and anointed man. He became a cave dweller, much the same as we often do when trouble pursues us. He withdrew and found himself in a dark place. In our day and age, we deal with problems in a lot of different ways. In fact, it never ceases to amaze me at the ways that we invent or come up with to deal with our problems. Many people deal with them in liquid form. Some people deal with them in pill form, although I have a lot of respect for the medical industry today and what they have done with these. Some people deal with their problems by using anger, by using revenge, violence. The list goes on in how we've chosen to deal with our problems. Is it any wonder our society's in the shape that it's in? And here David is in 1 Samuel in a cave. It's clear that he was escaping. It says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to there, to him. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. It tells us and becomes clear that David was escaping. It tells us that when his father's household heard, they went to be with him. And it tells us that all those who were in distress, in debt, or discontented gathered with David in the cave. As we oftentimes do, David felt fear. He felt confusion. He was probably sitting in the cave saying, "Why, God? Why?" And maybe even, "Why me, God?" And the only answer that the Bible and we can ever come up with is that sometimes God allows us to be in these places for the purpose of refining us. We read a story about Job and Job's hardship. It's although I have struggles with it, it's God's way of refining us and strengthening our faith. Because it's in these times that we have to be reminded how to deal with our situations through God's Word. David probably felt powerless. Here was a man who had slain the giant Goliath with one stone and now probably felt powerless. He probably felt depressed, as we often do in those dark places. This is a huge issue in society today. A society that we have answers to everything, we have books about everything, we have self-help ways to help ourselves to get through what we're suffering, but yet depression continues to rise in our society. It doesn't make sense. Especially among the Christian community. When we read about God's people and His Word, we find out that it was a major issue with God's people finding themselves in these dark places. Elijah was depressed. David became depressed. Paul became depressed. Some of the greatest encouragement that I have received in my life in pastoral ministry is from some of the great evangelists and preachers. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the 1800s, suffered from depression. D.L. Moody, the greatest evangelist of our country ever, suffered from depression. John Wesley suffered from doubt and depression. Alistair Begg, in his book on being a pastor, talks about how Satan works in the Christian community to bring us down in these dark times. And one of the ways is through depression. David felt exactly like we oftentimes do. Now, granted, it is good sometimes to get away to listen to the Lord, but I'm talking about those times when we find ourselves in those dark places because life just seems to have consumed us and we're dealing with our problems and we have all these problems and we don't know which way to turn. It's important to let others know that we are struggling. Notice David's father's household. When they heard, they went to be with him. This is absolutely the most important thing in the Christian community, is to let others know we are struggling. When Christians say to me, I don't have any problems, I'm great, I'm good, I look at them and I think, why are you lying to yourself and to God? We have problems, don't we? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
As Christians, the enemy is constantly firing at us, trying to bring us down. And oftentimes, we're afraid to let others know that we have problems, that we're dealing with problems, because the enemy tells us, you don't want your reputation to be tarnished. You're upstanding in the community. You know your Bible. You've been in the church all these years. People can't see. Can't say that you're afraid. Don't let them see you sweat. You want to know something, folks? It's time that Christians start letting the world see them sweat. Because it's in our sweat that the world sees we are fixed and committed to Almighty God and to allowing God to bring us through those struggles no matter how hard they are. It is just so important for us to let others know that we're struggling. Now, granted, there are those that we should not let know because we know that it's going to end up on Facebook and places that it shouldn't. But we gather together in faith as Christians to share our burdens and our joys. Because when we do so, and there's nothing more heartbreaking than when I ask someone, would you like me to put you on the prayer chain or bring you up for prayer in church? They say, no, I'm good. Very, very heartbreaking to hear that kind of attitude. When we bring our struggles together into the Christian community, and we start to pray for one another, we call to battle the forces of heaven, and the enemy has absolutely no power in that. But you see, he wants you to think that you shouldn't do that because it's going to embarrass you. He wants you to think that if you let someone know that you're struggling or that you don't have your life under control, they're going to laugh at you. Isn't it sad that we accept that? That we believe that? And we see that all those who were in distress and debt or discontented gathered with him. You see, when we start to share our struggles with one another, we soon find out we're not the only ones struggling. The enemy doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think it's you, you're a problem, you've got problems, you can't deal with it, you're weak. You might as well, as Job's wife said, you might as well curse God and die. The enemy wants you to think that. God wants you to know that it is vitally important that we do not stop, as the Bible says, stop meeting together, sharing our burdens with one another, calling on the forces of heaven to get involved in the battle. Now, there's a lot more to the story, but I want to get to my point. It was when David was in these dark places, these caves, that he wrote many of the Psalms that we've come to love, Psalms that have been a source of encouragement to us and comfort in the caves. It's no coincidence. God meant it to be so. You see, the Lord reveals to us in the Bible that there's one thing that will ultimately lead us to victory and bring us out of the dark places, and that is commitment to God and praising His name. Commitment to God and praising His name. In Psalm 142 is a miscall of David, a psalm, a prayer of David when he was in a cave. I cry aloud to the Lord. Look at his request. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before Him. Before Him I tell my trouble. As if the Lord doesn't know his trouble. You know, folks, I want you to try something sometime in your prayer time. Complain to the Lord. Complain a little bit. God knows you're human. He knows your heart. Lord God, I know I'm your person, but I don't like it how things are going. I don't like the situation I'm in. I don't like the burdens that are on me right now. I can't deal with it, Lord. It's too much for me. Because when we do, we start to humble ourselves. We start to find our attitude being put right before God. So here David is. When my spirit grows faint, listen to what he's saying. God knows he was lost, and God knows he was in danger. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. God knows he was lost. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see no one's concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. God knew he was in danger. He was in danger. He was desperate. He was weak. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge. He just said, I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Look to my right and see. No one's concerned for me. I have no refuge here. But I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge. My portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. He is admitting his weakness. God, set me free from my prison. And the purpose of his request, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Free me, God, that I might give you glory and praise your holy name. Now, in our reading this morning from Psalm 57, again, we find David in a cave. We see, first of all, his calling and his commitment to God. Is calling out to God, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. And his commitment is, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. No matter how long that takes, you are my refuge, God, until this disaster passes me. I've found it very, very powerful. My own personal times of depression and struggle, to tell God, I don't know why this is happening, but I am not walking away from you, God. I am not going to leave you or walk away from you or curse you. God will always honor your commitment to Him. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. He sends His love and His faithfulness. Look at this. He calls to God and says to God, I'm committed to you, God. And he acknowledges that God is going to fulfill His purpose for David and His salvation for David. We've got to understand we are God's children. And God will fulfill His purpose if it means you're going to have to struggle for a little while. You just need to trust God. Because there's a purpose behind it all, and it's for His glory. Because there's no greater glory than a person giving thanks and praise to Almighty God when they're literally being dragged through the mud. That's the witness and testimony that has the power, the divine power of Almighty God. He talks about his hopeless situation. I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down, or maybe better yet, he was bowed down by the weight and distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they've fallen into it themselves. Why? Because he knows God's more powerful. He knows they've wasted their time. He says, God sends from heaven and saves me. These men try and pursue me and entrap me. Why? Because they were trying to get him caught up for the purpose of devouring him. That is the enemy's purpose in our lives, folks. He's trying to get you caught up in a dark place, in a mess, for the purpose of devouring you and making a mockery of God. So here he is in a dark place, probably feeling alone, deserted, scared, confused, and let down. Because wasn't he supposed to be God's man? So what does he do? In verse 1, he releases the burdens of his soul and he turns to God for protection until the disaster has passed. He cries out confident that God will save him and he praises God, be exalted, which means high and active. Be active, God. He was activating Almighty God. Be exalted. Let your glory, your honor be over all the earth. He releases the burdens of his soul. He praises God. And he says in the meat of Psalm 57, my heart is steadfast, O God. The King James Version says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast. Fixed. Fixed on God. Fixed securely. Heart is steadfast, and I will sing and make music. Awake my soul, awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. My heart is steadfast and fixed on the Lord. My soul sings, and I'm not afraid to do it in public. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I'll sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. His heart is fixed on God. His soul sings. He's not afraid to go public with his faith despite his suffering. And the reason for his response to his situation is and should be that the Lord's love and faithfulness are boundless and endless. He knows the Lord loves him. He knows he's in a dark place. He knows his life is being threatened. He knows that he is powerless to find a way out, but he knows that God loves him and that God will save me. He says he sends from heaven and saves me. He knows that God loves him and God has promised him. For some reason, God has allowed him to be in this place for some purpose or another. You ever feel like that? Why, God, have you allowed me to be in this place? And it's okay. It's okay to ask God. We have a personal relationship. God understands your heart and your mouth. Why, God, are you allowing this? Why have you allowed me to be in this dark place? But David knows that commitment to the Lord is powerful. He knows that somehow, some way, the Lord is going to save him. And this brings his soul to praise God. When I consider all things, Lord, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. The Lord is Lord over even over the darkness. When God came into the world in the form of Jesus of Nazareth, John tells us, in him is life, and that life is the light of all people. The cave was a place of burial, and sometimes we feel like we've been buried, or we feel dead because we're in those situations that weigh us down and bring darkness over our lives. But the Lord is Lord over death. He will not let you die there. No, says John, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You see, light and darkness cannot coexist. The light outshines the darkness. The key is to turn the light on, to wrap our souls, our very souls, around the person of the Lord and say, my heart is fixed, Lord. Let your glory shine. And I'm going to stay fixed until this disaster is past. When one's in the cave and finds themselves lost, you know what I'm talking about, and you have no direction in life, you're directionless. You find yourself lost, your batteries are dead, you have no energy. And there you are in the darkness, there's no way out. There's no end in sight. There are three things that we can employ in a situation like that to help. In a cave, dark, power out, no energy, no direction, no end in sight. First of all, we look for light. We stop and look around to see if there's even a little bit of light. We stop to meditate, to see if there's a little bit of the light of life shining for us to direct us. That might come in the form of encouragement from another person. That might come on Sunday morning in church, through the songs, through the prayers, through the scripture, through the preaching. That might come, secondly, through reading the Bible, which is the second means. You listen. You listen for any sounds that might be permeating the darkness. That comes in the form of picking up our Bibles and starting to read. And we find David in the cave. We listen to God's voice saying, I love you. It's going to be okay. I'm going to get you out of this. Just be patient and keep praising me. And thirdly, we feel to see if there might be a draft. Because if there's a draft, it might lead us to the way out. A wind, a breeze, which in the Bible is the Spirit, the breath, the wind, guiding us, directing us. So we stop and we meditate. We look for light around us to draw us out. We listen for the voice of Almighty God. We stop and ponder the Holy Spirit's guiding. Along with our two psalms today, there are six other psalms that were from the period of David's flight from Saul. Eight psalms in total that David wrote. All of them contain the importance of praising God during our struggles. You see his purpose here? His purpose is that I may praise your name. And as a witness that the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. This is our purpose. This is what you and I were created for, is to praise God. In the Westminster Confession or Catechism that was written in the 1600s to teach the Christian faith, the very first thing that was dealt with in number one, the question is, what is the chief end of man? What's our purpose? Why are we here? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. When we're in the dark place,
And we do this. We praise God. And we say, I'm going to be committed to you, God. I'm not walking away from you, God. I'm going to praise you. My soul cries out to you. Oh, God, my soul cries out to you. In you, I will take refuge until the disaster has passed. It's so powerful. It's literally reaches to the heart and soul of Almighty God. And says a whole lot to the world out there when they see us in our struggles, still praising God, giving thanks to God, and singing to our God and Savior, because we know that He will provide a way out. Think back in your life of all the times you've been in those places. You are here today because Almighty God made a way out for you. I can imagine if it's possible that God saw David in the caves hiding and not only saw David's reaction but heard his praise, and God said to himself, now there's a man I desire to save. A man after my own heart. I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle. But that's our spiritual struggle, is to block out the enemy and fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, in these dark places. To look, to listen, to feel. You'll see God. You'll hear God. You'll feel the Holy Spirit. We hang on until the disaster is past. And if you know the rest of the story, God did in fact protect David. David became Israel's greatest king, from whom Jesus descended, a king forever from the line of David. That was God's promise. I will provide a king for you from the line of David, whose kingdom will never end. David was a man after God's own heart. And he leaves us an example this morning for us cave dwellers of how to deal with the issues of life. We're going to find ourselves in those dark places, folks. We're human beings. Anybody that tells you that they never have any problems is not telling you the truth. And it's time we stop and say, I'm struggling. I'm having problems. I'm dealing with this. Pray for me. Help me. And my eyes are fixed on God. In God, my soul takes refuge. From the darkness of our caves, we cry out to God and praise Him. We give Him the glory and we fix our hearts on God. And the light will overcome the darkness. And we will be free. Let's pray. Oh God, when we are called to sing Your praise with hearts so filled with pain, that we would rather sit and weep or stand up to complain. Remind us, God, You understand the burdens that we bear, because You too have walked the shadowed way and You've known our deep despair. When we're called to sing Your praise and we cannot find our voice because our losses leave us now no reason to rejoice, remind us, God, that You accept our sad laments in prayer, because You too have walked the shadowed way and You've known our deep despair. When we are called to sing Your praise, O God, and life ahead looks grim, still give us faith and hope enough to break forth in a hymn, a thankful hymn, great God of love, that You are everywhere, that You walk the shadowed way with us and keep us in Your care. May God bless His word today in us, that we might not only hear, we might see, and we might feel His presence in the darkness of us, our caves. We pray in His name.